Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. You know, this is chapter 17 of John's Gospel is something really to meditate upon. It's so beautiful. And this prayer today that Jesus prays, Holy Father, protect them in your name that you gave me, that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. And as I meditated upon this verse today, I can't help getting off my mind what Don told me a few weeks ago about the choir that our church, and they're practicing, and you know, you have different voices, different tenors, soprano, whatever, and they're singing together, and suddenly, it doesn't happen all the time, but there is a harmony, a consonance, a vibration that just fills the church building, and it's called sympathetic vibrations. And our choir did that. It was the Holy Spirit working through our choir. The diverse people singing together through John's direction. Suddenly, that gift of grace. You choir members, did you experience that? If it happens again, say, hey, here it is. Because I want to experience that. It sounds so wonderful. This unity in diversity. Diversity, unity, this harmony. In the blue book you have in front of you, it's like that, with one voice. God's grace, and there was beauty in the harmony of the different voices together. And that's what I thought about too, as we heard what Sarah read today in our first reading, where you had all kinds of people together, people who starting to know the joy of their life in Jesus Christ, like Thomas, who doubted the Lord, like Peter, who denied the Lord at his most vulnerable 3 times, or James and John, who argued with each other who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom of God, or maybe Nicodemus was there, who met with Jesus at night because he saw something in Jesus that he didn't see in any other person, or maybe Joseph of Arimathea, who gave the place for Jesus' body to be buried. And most of these people were brown skin. They had kinky hair. They didn't look like us. They're Middle Easterners, most of these people. And under normal circumstances, these people would not be together. Under normal circumstances, these diverse people would not have lunch together. They did not have much in common. They wouldn't have hung out together. So what drew them together? Well, what draws us together today in our society? What draws people together? Well, I know my dad had the joy of being at Three Rivers Stadium when Franco got the Immaculate Reception. And there was Bradshaw. He faded to, he was almost telling, he faded, and he threw that ball, and it was Frenchie Fuqua, and he smacked into that Oakland Raiders guy, and the ball flew up in the air, and it came down, and he didn't really see what happened, but Franco reaches down. In fact, there's a statue, a little picture of a thing of him at the airport, and he runs, and people start going crazy. A lady that my dad didn't even know started hugging him, and they had tears in their eyes, and they were cheering. And it was like everybody, well, at least the Steeler fans, were a family. They were together. And if you remember, after that, Franco ran across the goal line, the officials kind of huddled. And they really didn't give a signal at first. And it took a while. Rumor has it that they were talking and said, okay, this is Pittsburgh. How's the security here? Oh, not too good. Touchdown! Okay. They want to get out of there alive. So, you know, there's that. There's sports events that bring people. Or Taylor Swift. You know, Swifties, they go crazy. They go to a Taylor Swift concert. So there's that. Or political parties. Like conservatives love the conservatives and liberals love the liberals. And they get enthused. But how many get this enthused about Jesus Christ? About our Savior? our good shepherd, that same kind of enthusiasm, that same kind of high. You see, that's what was happening in this upper room. Those people that life was disappointing them, life was not what it's supposed to be. All these promises from riches or rulers or authority figures, it didn't really cut it. And suddenly, in this Jesus of Nazareth, they saw something they didn't see in anybody or anywhere else. And they were filled with Jesus Christ. And they, well, as St. Augustine said, they filled with Jesus. But when the thing about Jesus, when you're filled with him, you got to share him with others. So it's kind of like, you know, those water wheels. The wheel fills with water and it goes around, then it empties out and it fills up again. So us, we go back to Jesus. And that's what they were doing. That's what Sarah read in our first reading. There was Peter and John and James and Andrew and Philip and Thomas and Bartholomew and Matthew and James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot and Judas, son of Jonas, and Mary and other women and the Jesus brothers. They were all together. And Jesus, nothing else, Jesus was the glue that kept them together. What they did was because of Jesus. In our first reading. And what did these people do? As they gathered, what did they do? They prayed. They devoted themselves to prayer together. Prayer to God, who they believed was real. They believed God was acting. And they prayed for the patients, and they prayed to know where God was working, where God was speaking, and they wanted to be part of that, and sign up for that action. You know, I think later than this, St. Paul talks about in our baptism, that's what happens in our baptism, the unity and diversity, diversity and unity. He says in Ephesians, he says, now in Christ, there is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male nor female. But all of you are one in Christ. This is what Jesus was, they were praying in our gospel reading today. Jesus prayed to his Abba, his daddy, his father. May they be one as you and I are one. Or as one Bible translation puts it, may they be of one heart, mind, and soul as we are of one heart and mind and soul. Very deep. I mean, a husband and wife, and you guys are going to learn about this too. You know, you love each other, husband and wife, and you become one mentally, spiritually, physically. And there's a depth to that that it's hard to describe, but it's beautiful. This oneness that Jesus is talking about is even deeper and higher than even that. This is the unity that goes beyond sports and all this other stuff. Unity that is above that and deeper than that. And as unique communal unity, we are unique communal people in God. And God knows, and we know, in our society, in our world, people need to know belonging. They need to know oneness. They need to know Jesus very much today. A unity that God gives us. Now, Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote a wonderful book about how Christians to live together. It was called Life Together. And he was talking about this at a terrible time in Lutheran history in Germany, because some of the church sold out to the government. They became the German Lutherans, the German Christians, and they followed Hitler. And Bonhoeffer said, no, we follow Jesus Christ. And this is what he said. He said, Jesus Christ is the basis of Christian community. Jesus Christ stands between the lover and the others he loves. Jesus Christ is the source of unity. I can't see you unless I look through Jesus Christ to see who you really are. You can't see me unless you look through the Lord Jesus Christ to see who I really am. So if Jesus mediates between relationships and Jesus is there, then it dissolves all these divisions that are man-made. I mean, didn't you see recently again that picture of the earth from outer space? Where was America? Where was Japan? Where was Russia? Where was Brazil? We're all one in this beautiful blue orb in the middle of this darkness. There's oneness. That's how God made us to be one. Being then obedience to this Lord Jesus Christ means to love and forgive one another. Obedience basically means, from the two Latin words, ob, adore, like auditory, adore, ob, to listen through each other, to listen through the beautiful creation, to listen through and hear the voice of Jesus Christ, to hear the way of Jesus, and to be obedient to that voice. You know, Martin Luther had this sense of this unity, and he wrote a wonderful treatise on good works, and he talked about prayer. And he says, calling on God in prayer must be done with heartfelt emotion and sincerity, so that we feel in our hearts the needs of all people. He was very specific about this because, you know, we can look at the news and hear what the bad news, and we get overwhelmed and we become numb. We don't want to hear about it. But that's not the way of Jesus. We love each other and we do what we can, like this Sundays on Sunday, or gathering foodstuffs on the first Sunday of the month, or what we can do. We do to the glory of God. We don't get numb. We don't give up. Martin Luther goes on. And that we pray with true sympathy, sympathos with others, for them, in true faith and confidence. He says that's how we're to pray for one another and pray for the world. He goes on to say, if everyone only prays for himself or herself and has no regard for the other, this is selfish prayer, which God hates. He uses that word, hates. What he's saying is, yeah, pray, thank you, God, for this food. But also pray, God, we pray for the people that don't have food, the people that are starving, the children that are hungry, the women that are starving. We pray for them too. Keep them in our prayers. Or if you read the back of your bulletin today, there's a thing from Africa. It's a philosophy called Ubuntu. Ubuntu. And it basically says, I am because we are together. If you remember a few months ago, before Bishop Stoller was Bishop Stoller, she was Pastor Stoller, she came to our church and she gave us these cards. And it says, me to we, me to we. And in the back it says, from St. Paul's Philippians, if then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from his love, any sharing of the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than ourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interest of others. Now listen, let the same mind be in you that was in Jesus Christ. You want to know what Jesus thought? Unity. What he prayed? Unity. Jesus prayed. And then today in the prayer he says to his Abba, he didn't call God Almighty God, he said, Abba, father, daddy. It's like Daniel and Austin loved their daddy. So Jesus felt the same way towards God, his daddy. He said, I glorified you on earth by finishing the work that you gave me to do. What's the work? You know, love, forgiveness, healing, wholeness, openness to God, openness to God's creation, openness to others, especially the ones that are different or look different. They are God's children too. How to live a righteous life. In other words, he comes to give us salvation, the salvation of God. This unity in diversity, this diversity in unity. Jesus did this, does this, and continues to do this, and Jesus shows us the way. You know, St. Francis's spiritual sister, Claire of Assisi, the last word she said before she died to the people around her, she said, I have done what is mine to do. May God show you what is yours. And St. Francis said, Lord, make me an instrument. Don't just pray for peace. Make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hate, let me give love. And Paul Tillich, the great theologian, said, love is that power that drives to reunite that which is separated. Jesus prays today, may they be one as we are one. Thomas Merton said, we are in Christ already one. Let's live that way. And the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.